Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 3rd of February. This hour of the program, we talk about long-term care. There's a good chance that if you live beyond the age of 65, you will need some kind of long-term care services. The numbers are pretty amazing. About 70% of people over the age of 65 require some services, and the likelihood of needing care increases as you age. Long-term care is expensive. 1 year of care in a nursing home, based on the 2008 national average, cost over $68,000 for a semi-private room. 1 year of care at home, assuming you need periodic personal care from a home health aide, the average is about three times a week, would cost almost $18,000 a year. Consumer surveys have revealed some misunderstandings that people have about which public programs pay for long-term care services. Many people think they can rely on Medicare, which is not the case. They only pay for long-term care if you require skilled services or recuperative care for a short period of time. They do not pay for the majority of long-term care services, non-skilled assistance with activities of daily living. So how do you plan for long-term care? What options are available? And do we need other options available for long-term care in this country because people are living for longer periods of time? We have two guests with us, and we'll be welcoming, I'm sure, your many phone calls. Donna Bryant is lead counselor at the Medigap Helpline, which is a program of the state of Wisconsin's Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. Donna, hello. Thanks for being with us.
Hello, Kathleen. Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, we're very happy, too. Romeo Robbie is also with us. Romeo is a counselor for long-term care. His practice is the Long-Term Care Guy, located in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Romeo, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. Glad to help.
Hi. And our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email address is talk@WPR.org. Let's start with you, Donna. It seems to me that as a society, we have not dealt with this issue as much as we should. The expenses are enormous. The options are there, but they're not as complete as they ought to be. And nobody wants to think much about it because we don't want to think we're going to be old and need those kinds of services.
That's exactly correct, Kathleen. We as a society are in denial of the fact that everyone, every day, is headed in the direction where at some point in time we may experience diminished physical capacities or limitations or barriers that will require some kind of substitute help or assistance.
And Romeo, I'm wondering how many people think ahead for planning what they may need when they're older.
Very few, because when they see someone come from the hospital and go to the nursing home for recovery care, which is paid for by Medicare, they assume the government pays for this and it's all free. So why should they plan in advance?
Mm-hmm. And it's not all free, is it? And the rules are something that you don't even know about until you find yourself in that situation.
And then it's too late.
Right. What about the state of Wisconsin? I know that states are different in this regard, Donna. Do you think that we have an adequate setup for long-term care in this state?
Actually, Kathleen, I don't know that anyone can have what you call adequate because, as Romeo alluded to, the cost can be staggering. And when we use the term long-term care, it's such an all-encompassing term. It depends on what exact services do you need in order to maintain yourself at a certain level, which can be different from the services I might require to maintain myself.
Right.
Most of the time when a person hears long-term care, everyone immediately zeroes in on nursing home. But there's a whole continuum of living options and that where we will require or could possibly require some additional assistance.
And Romeo, I would imagine that when you say nursing home, most people would prefer to have a different kind of arrangement. Most people want to be at home, don't they?
Oh, yes. And the bulk of long-term care in this country is done at home at great emotional, financial, and health costs to the caregivers, which are the spouses and the children and the family member who provide more than 50% of all long-term care services in America.
More than 50%.
Yes.
And And who's available to do the other? We hire people to come into our homes, Donna?
If you can.
Right.
If you can, yes. You hire people to come into your homes. There are some programs that may provide some services and options for you to help keep you as independent as possible in your own home.
And is that possible in a good majority of the cases, Romeo?
Well, it is possible in many cases. Some rural areas have less providers than others, but in most of the metropolitan areas, there are a number of home care providing services. The problem is people are shocked when they find they actually have to pay for that.
Right. It is out-of-pocket expenses, right?
Yes, it is.
Is that true for people on Medicaid as well?
That isn't true for people on Medicaid, but it would depend upon what the services are and where they are receiving the services.
The other problem with Medicaid is that we don't have enough dollars to take care of all the people we'd like to take care of. We'd like to take care of more people at home than in facilities, but some states have found that when that is the program in the state, that people give up on taking care of their loved ones since they let the state do it, and it actually costs more money in the long run.
Right.
And, you know, Kathleen, long-term care, that term, it refers to such a wide range of medical, personal, and social services. You can need this type of care if you have a prolonged illness, or if you have a disability, or if you have just a, well, for instance, there's a woman in my community. She can no longer lift pots, pans, or skillets to cook for herself and her two children. She's 44, but this is a result of a spinal cord injury. The tremors are too severe, so it's unsafe.
Well, and surprisingly, 40% of all long-term care services are delivered to people under the age of 65 years old.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, that's we don't think of those people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm wondering if we need to, and I'm sure that both of you are involved in doing this, but it seems as though this is a critical area, and as we debate health care reform and keep debating health care reform, where is the emphasis on coming up with a system that won't rob people by the for a stay in a nursing home if they need it for a longer period of time than Medicare will give them, and there are stipulations on that money, or for people to be able to have somebody come in and help them so they can stay at their home and not have all their savings go away. It seems as though we have a system that just doesn't work very well. How can we change it?
Well, one thing we have done already to try to change it is the partnership program in Wisconsin, which started over a year ago. And it's a program that the health department put in place. The feds kind of encouraged it. And it's really aimed at people of modest means, telling them that if they purchase even a little bit of long-term care insurance and someday use that coverage and exhaust it, use it up, they can now go on Medicaid, and Medicaid will ignore assets equal to what that policy has paid out. It's trying to encourage people to take at least a little personal responsibility and give them an incentive for doing so.
Now, if I may clarify something, that is true, but we must not confuse. The state of Wisconsin actually has two programs or two venues that have that term partnership in them. One is actually part of our existing long-term care delivery system that includes family care and Medicaid and Medicare all under one roof for a person. And to what Romeo is referring to is long-term care partnership insurance policies, which are specially designed and crafted insurance policies that meet certain criteria at state and federal regulations, and it allows the state of Wisconsin or any state that is participating to ignore a certain amount of assets equal to the benefits paid out under the policy. And if you are in a long-term care situation for which Medicaid would pay, if you meet the income eligibility criteria, then the Wisconsin Department of Medicaid, the Department of Health Services actually, has agreed to ignore and disregard that amount of assets equal to the payout under the long-term care partnership insurance policy.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm getting from you, and tell me if I'm misguided here, Romeo, is if you're very poor or if you're very rich, you don't have to worry about this issue. If you're anywhere in between, you better get thinking about it right now.
Generally, that is true, although the very wealthy people often decide that rather than spending $60,000 to $90,000 a year paying for long-term care services, all they have to do is set that same amount of money aside. The interest it generates would buy them long-term care insurance. And it's much cheaper to have the insurance for them than to spend all that money, even if they could afford it. And the very poor, they rely on Medicaid, and that's what Medicaid is for. It's a wonderful program that we have that in this area. But there are some things that even those people can do that could help themselves possibly stay off Medicaid and pay for their care so they have more choices, such as staying at home if there is not a family care or family care partnership program in their area.
And this thing about staying at home, which I think many people envision this, to have somebody come in, and people live so far apart from each other, in many cases families do, that your sons and daughters can't come in and care for you. So you want some good-hearted soul, but I got an email message this morning, somebody saying, well, you know, the amount of money that we pay people to take care of the elderly is just terrible. So we've got that issue as well. You want people to be, this is important work that they're doing, and you want them to be paid for it, and they're not doing very well either. So there are a lot of levels of problems with this, Donna.
Yes, there are. And there's also the very necessary and very critical aspect of determining exactly what do you mean by stay at home. Many times, one of the areas in which people begin to need help, they can still be physically able, but the need for home chore assistance can come more quickly than my need for someone to set up my medications for me or my need for someone to help me bathe. Well, home chore services aren't normally a benefit of a long-term care policy. There are a couple, but it's not normally part of a long-term care policy. So that is one example of something that you would need to pay someone. We're Wisconsin. Snow removal.
Yes,
you know,
leaf
removal, the yard work.
Right.
Those kinds of chores that the person is no longer able to do.
Right. So, Romeo, who decides what's going to be included in benefits that you might receive?
Actually, the person looking at buying a long-term care policy has some confusion because there are a number of moving parts in these policies. How many dollars per day do I need to have? For how long should I have it? What type of deductible? And the explanation I try to give to help people choose the dollars per day is how much is actually needed. In my own case, if I needed long-term care services and had to pay for them, our lifestyle would change between my wife and myself, and I wouldn't need the snowmobiles and the motorcycle, and I may not even need my car, and we wouldn't do the traveling we do now. So some of the money that we spend having fun, which people should do in retirement, can be redirected to paying part of the cost of long-term care services from income, and only the additional need needs to come from insurance. So many people are surprised when I suggest less insurance than they might have initially thought of.
Mm. Let's go to phone calls. We have tons of them, and we want to get the audience involved as much as possible. Our number is 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and Yuli is our first caller. Hi, Yuli.
Let's take a phone call, please.
You want to turn that radio down, please? We'll ask you to do that, Yuli, and then come back to us because we can't hear you. Brad is next. Hi, Brad.
Hi there. I had a quick comment and question. The late Senator Ted Kennedy mentioned that an improved Medicare for All plan would include long-term care coverage, vision, dental, as well as drug and medical coverage. I think if the politicians would advocate such a plan, it would gain traction with the public. And my question is, for those seniors that have pre-existing conditions, are there any private long-term care plans out there that they might qualify for that are reasonably priced?
Well, this is Donna, and I'll take a stab at this. Just the fact that you mentioned pre-existing conditions tells me that you do understand that under our current system of insurance, there are underwriting guidelines, and companies are required to follow their underwriting guidelines. If a person does not meet the underwriting guidelines, the company is not required to issue a policy to them. And in terms of is there something available, a person would have to apply to the company in which they were interested and let the company review the application and the medical records and return their verdict to them. Each company's underwriting guidelines, while we do have regulations that provide a common foundation and common requirements, each company is free to assess where they want to take the risk and where they want to cut that off.
Right.
In terms of whether or not it's reasonable, the cost, each individual would, again, have to decide, can I afford this? Is this reasonable for me in terms of what it is I'm expecting this policy to do?
Mm-hmm. And
what is surprising to many people is that some health conditions which they think are a problem may not be. For example, someone who's had a heart attack in the last year, that's not a problem for a long-term care insurance company because death is the end of a claim. If another heart attack kills you, they're concerned with things that can wing you. So if a person has diabetes, some companies will not touch it, and other companies, if you have a well-controlled A1C of less than 7, even one up to 8, with no morbid factors, they will accept an application from such a person, and so it's helpful to deal with an agent who has access to many companies and understands which ones accept which health risks. Then, of course, there are other alternatives to long-term care insurance that can help as well.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for the call. And yet it ought to be something that should be available. Am I wrong about this? You ought to be able, if you want to get this kind of insurance, what are you going to do if you can't get it, if you have a pre-existing condition?
Well, if you do have a pre-existing condition and no company will take you, there are other alternatives to help pay for care. One thing that I've done to help people already in long-term care services or in a facility is strategies to make the money last longer. There is a very unusual type of an annuity where people convert a lump sum of money they may have into an income stream, and one of the companies takes your poor health into consideration. And if even if I am only 60 years old, but if my health is such that I'm in a nursing facility and may only have a 2 or 3 year life expectancy, if the annuity company takes that poor health into consideration, they will give me a much higher payout or the amount of money I need, say $3,000-$4,000 a month for a much lower lump sum, and maybe I can convert some of my money into income and pay for my care for the rest of my life rather than running out and having to turn to Medicaid.
Right. And what's this reverse mortgage that I've read about?
Reverse mortgages let people take money out of a house if they're over 62 years old. And I've done a couple of cases where the family has called and said, Dad died, who was Mom's caregiver. Mom needs long-term care because she uses a walker and can't get around. Can we buy her a policy? And, of course, the answer was no. But I brought in a reverse mortgage specialist who took the equity out of the house and then I converted that into an income for life. So this woman, 5 years later, is still at home using that income for life to pay for home care services. She has no long-term care insurance, but she's in the home paying for her care, not in a facility. Medicaid is not involved. The taxpayers aren't paying the money. And a nursing facility is not losing money on the low Medicaid reimbursement, which I consider a win-win-win.
Right. Marilyn is next from Madison. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I wondered, is there any protection for people who are spending all of this money on policies in case if the company should go bankrupt?
Well, absolutely. In the state of Wisconsin, there is an insurance security fund, as well as our insurance regulations, in which our Office of the Commissioner of Insurance and our legislature has guaranteed the continued life of long-term care insurance policies and Medicare supplement policies in the state of Wisconsin. If a company falls into a financial distress, the insurance commissioner's office has the responsibility to find a healthy company, and they move the policies to a healthy company if it is determined this company is never going to function again. Otherwise, the financial department of the insurance commissioner's office goes and work with the company, and the policies are maintained. Policies do not die. Policies do not disappear because an insurance company may have financial problems in the state of Wisconsin with the long-term care policies and the Medicare supplement policies. They're guaranteed renewable for life.
Marilyn, thanks for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. Romeo Robbie, counselor for long-term care. His practice is the Long-Term Care Guy, located in Green Bay. Donna Bryant, lead counselor at the Medigap Helpline, a program of the state of Wisconsin's Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. The email talk@WPR.org. We have an email we'll get to in just a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dunn and Romeo, let's go to an email. This is from Jay. I checked with the Wisconsin Nursing Home Association. They state 60% of nursing home residents are on Medicaid. Most folks don't know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. I'm lucky my employer offered a group long-term care plan, and I'm able to take the policy with me into retirement. It's about $100 a month, but I feel that it's worth it. And Jay adds, if we want government to pay for long-term care, we must be ready to pay more taxes.
Well, that's true. There is one minor problem, actually it's a major problem, with some group long-term care policies, and that is that they are often offered at a very low cost, but without an inflation factor on them. And if you purchase a long-term care insurance policy without an inflation factor in your 40s and you need care in your 80s, it's like giving you a gasoline can and 29 cents to fill it up. Gas doesn't cost 29 cents a gallon anymore. It has gone up. And so it is very, very important on any long-term care policy to seriously consider the inflation factor. And if you're offered a policy at work very inexpensively, the question is, does it have that inflation factor? Because without it, I think it's almost worthless.
Donna, you want to add anything?
Well, I do agree that the inflation factor does help keep the policy current in terms of the benefit dollar amount. But I think it's important for people to understand that even with a long-term care policy, they do need to be able to supplement the benefits of that policy.
What about this amount? Is this $100 a month pretty reasonable, average?
It's not average, not at all. It's extremely low.
It's very low, huh?
Yes.
It would assume that the person has enough other income to make up the difference between the $100 a day and what the actual cost is, and will that other income rise to keep pace with inflation like the policy will? Social Security goes up every year, but certainly not by 5% compounded.
Right. Thanks, Jay, very much for your call. Let's go next to Peggy from Tigerton. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. Good morning to you and your guests. I just wanted to tell about my father's experience some time ago. He had suffered a stroke. He was living alone in his own home that he'd lived in forever. And I live a mile away, and the other four kids live in various areas of the United States. Of course, he went to a nursing home for care and for therapy, and then he was ready to be discharged to come home. However, of course, we're in a panic. What do we do? Through Shawano County, we entered a program where caregivers were paid by the county. They were approved by the county, hired by the county, and we got 40 hours a week of paid care various times of the day. He didn't need somebody 24 hours a day, but he needed somebody to come in and get him ready for the day, breakfast. Then somebody called at noon. These were wonderful people, and it was called the Estate Recovery Program. Now, that's not free, of course, but eventually when my father had to go into a nursing home permanently for the last couple months of his life, the state and I sold his house, and the state collected the money that we had used in his care for those on and off for those 3 years.
Hmm.
It was absolutely a wonderful program. We were assigned a social worker, and he helped us to do grants that helped, you know, we resided the house, we put in different windows. With his help and with the help of those caregivers, eventually we did have to pay somebody to come in and spend part of the night. And some of us kids, of course, on the weekends, we took turns. So as he needed more and more, it got harder and harder. And we did pay out some of his own money toward that. But the whole idea of course, he would have loved to have left his house to his five kids. Of course he would have. But what we loved was that he was in his own home as long as possible,
yes,
which he loved.
Yes.
So I don't know if that program is still in existence. I just know that it made our lives just so much better at such a tough time.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like a great program. Is it statewide? Is it still around, Donna?
Well, the state recovery program is still in existence in the state of Wisconsin. The way this family has experienced it does sound wonderful, and I'm glad that it was able to make things easier for them as well as their father.
Mm-hmm.
It also saved money for the state by having a lot lower cost for those 3 years at home versus spending those 3 years in a nursing home at a much higher cost.
And he was so happy. I mean, he was just so delighted to be able to be home. And the caregivers were approved, as I said. They were hired, but they were local people who qualified. They weren't nurses, but they'd had lots of experience, and they'd taken classes, and they were wonderful with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome.
And I had, our personal experience, a lot of people have these, too. My situation with my dad was just the opposite. He had a stroke as well and lived 90 miles away, and he had to go into a nursing home in order to get, some speech therapy and care, but he was in a part of the home that, and this is a guy who had never been to the doctor since World War II, so he wasn't very comfortable with any kind of medical establishment, and he was in a semi-private room because of the skilled care that he needed. I didn't know that Medicare ran out. Nobody talks to you about this, that it ran out after a certain period of time, and he would have had to have been moved to another part of the nursing home, which I didn't like very much, in order for Medicare to kick in some money. And that was four to a room, and he was, sort of taken with, he just wanted out of the place. But had there been a program like that where he could have been moved home and somebody could have stayed with him, but there wasn't anything, and it drives a person nuts because he went into his savings so that somebody would visit him. I put him in hospice, and, it was a mess. It was just a horrible mess, and he was upset, and I was upset, and there should have been a better way. There just should have been a better way. And I'm sure I'm not alone. There must be a lot of other people who've gone through similar things, Donna.
Well, you're right, and I understand and hear what you're saying, and you're right. There are many people who've gone through similar things and feel the same way. But I think even in the stories that we've shared and some of the information that Romeo's given us, your question was, how does a person pay for it? It always boils down to three things. Private pay, with the creativity of the annuities and the way that Romeo helps people find the dollars,
right.
Reverse mortgage, private pay, insurance, and then last but not least, the Medicaid system.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, profit is not built into the Medicaid system. And the other thing that I think is very important for your audience to realize, even if a person starts out private pay, people who can start out private pay can run out of dollars.
Oh, sure. Easily.
And if you are private pay and insurance, you live long enough or the assets run out.
Right.
You will still wind up at the same point.
Right.
It's very important to understand, and this was a point I wanted to make with the long-term care partnership policy that Romeo had mentioned. A person who is private pay and they're paying $5,000, $6,000, $8,000 a month in a place, when and if that person gets to the point where the insurance is gone, their money is gone, the Medicaid program is not designed to, nor will it necessarily pay for the place or the care that you were getting previously. And
right.
I think
right.
we counsel people a lot, and that's a surprise to many people. If you're in a $10,000 a month facility and you run out of your funds and your insurance is gone, Medicaid is not going to continue to pay
right.
$10,000 a month to keep you
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing that bothers me, and Romeo, why don't you respond to this first, is that we all deserve better than that in our older years. We just deserve to leave the world in a better place. And I don't, to me, it's an indication of the priorities we place on the very old among us. If we are lucky, we'll all get to that situation, and we just aren't very good about taking care of our elderly, I don't think.
Well, we do take care of our elderly to some degree, not as well as we should, but we can take care of ourselves, and we are ultimately responsible for ourselves. I purchased my long-term care insurance at age 50, and it was very inexpensive doing so at that point, and I was healthy enough to get a good policy. But most people just don't think and plan in advance for that, and therein lies part of the problem. They call me when they are already had a stroke and need nursing care, saying, can I buy insurance? And you can't buy fire insurance when the house is on fire.
Right. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mike from Appleton. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, a very interesting program. And, you know, this is a huge problem, and it's only getting huger as the population, you know, gets older and the baby boomers are in demand for these services. I live this situation on a daily basis, and fortunately have been able to structure something that is working now. But, you know, for the majority of people, it's a huge, huge, major problem. So a couple of thoughts. And of course, this will not cover everybody, but it could cover a large group of people. I mean, we've outsourced everything. Why can't we outsource this, let's say, to Mexico? Why can't we set up long-term facilities on the Mexican side of the border? These people would live there and have access to health care just by driving across the border. We could reduce our costs hugely and probably provide a very good quality of service to the people who are residing there. That's one alternative.
What about our families? How are they going to come and visit?
Well, the fact of the matter, Kathleen, is if you talk to people who work in the nursing care business, the number of visits that some older people receive are almost nil. That's simply a fact of life. The other alternative is let's look at immigration policy in the sense of why can't we offer a visa for foreign nationals who want to come into the country and who, let's say, for a very low wage but living in the home of a person who needs care, we could possibly, you know, help to solve the problem that way. I know those are two kind of radical ideas, but the problem is huge and only getting bigger.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
I'd like to address that one, Kathleen.
Yeah, sure, Rumi.
Two parts. One about the foreign care. There are people that do go to Mexico or Central America to get long-term care services at a much lower cost. It's not a huge market yet, but people do this. Long-term care insurance policies many times will not pay for care in another country because without a strong social services network, they don't know if you've hired a gardener or a caregiver. And I have personally visited last fall nursing homes in Thailand, which are $400 a month and give wonderful care. Most of us don't want to go that far away, of course. As far as workers coming into this country, I joke that the Lutherans are the cause of the long-term care problem because we only had 3 kids, or at least I did, where the Catholics all used to have 12. We don't have enough young'uns to provide the workers, and we may need to have those people from other countries come here to do the caregiving when the baby boomer population is 80 years old and we don't have anywhere near enough workers to staff the facilities or provide home care.
Mm-hmm. Deborah from Minocqua, hi.
Hi. I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but first of all, the man who said people don't plan ahead or think ahead, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think it's a lot of people aren't aware of what's going to happen, and they're not aware of the programs that are available. And I'm a caregiver for both my parents. I live about 25 miles away from them. My mom's a cardiac patient, and my dad has early-stage dementia. And they want to stay in the home, and I go over every single day. But I am stunned at first of all, I never knew this was going to happen. But if there was some kind of program that said, okay, if you have an elderly parent, you're going to run into these problems, so why don't you come in, you know, we'll teach everybody about this, what could happen, this is what's available, what's not available. But when you get hit and all of a sudden there's all of these problems, and you don't have a clue to who to turn to, who not to. And I think that if this stuff was available beforehand, I think there's a lot of people that would participate in programs just in case it happens.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true, Donna. There are a lot of people who don't know much about this. How do we let people know?
Well, one of the things that we do have in Wisconsin, Kathleen, are aging and disability resource centers in certain parts of the state. They're in the process of getting up and running throughout the entire state. And there is a list available on the DHS website. I can certainly provide you with the link
Great.
To that.
Great. Okay.
And that's one place I would suggest a person start. Another place is a call. We have the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program here in the Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. And I can certainly provide your audience with that telephone number.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1-800-815-0015. And a call to a long-term care ombudsman can certainly give a person an overview of what they might expect and other resources in their area that they can begin to do some research and educate
right.
themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Deborah, thanks for your call. Romeo, you want to respond to her as well?
The ADRCs are wonderful places for information. Unfortunately, there's nothing that triggers your radar screen to say, gee, I'm 50-55. Maybe I should inquire, what if my parents need help? That's a horrible discussion to start. And what if I need help at some day? When we're 65 and we get Medicare, there's an automatic thing, oh, I've got to buy a supplement. But there's nothing that triggers a discussion about long-term care. And so the caller is correct. We need to get more information out that, hey, this could happen. Have you thought about it? And what are you going to do, and where are you going to go for information?
Right. More phone calls in a moment. Long-term care. And we also want to let you know that we have put up, Rhonda will right after the show, a link to the Wisconsin Board on Aging and Long-Term Care on our website as well as on our Facebook. So if you want to go to our Facebook, it's the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook. You know how to maneuver that if you're a Facebook guy or gal. And we will also put this on our website at WPR.org. So that's good, huh? The more information we have on this topic, the better. Our guests are Romeo Robbie, counselor for long-term care. He has the long-term care guy practice in Green Bay. Donna Bryant, lead counselor at the Medigap Helpline, a program of the state of Wisconsin's Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go back to your phone calls. Bob from Hudson is next. Hi, Bob.
Good afternoon or morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. I want to thank your speakers for doing an excellent job. I'm actually an industry expert on long-term care as well, and Romeo has done a very nice job really trying to help set up the point that people need to plan. In this industry or in this issue that we're looking at, there's only about a 10 to maybe 12% penetration of individuals who actually go out and buy insurance, and I can't tell you how many people I've sat down with to talk about planning for this in some meaningful way, who have looked me in the eye after having mom or dad in the nursing home and said, no, I don't need to do anything. Part of the problem comes with that people today don't understand there aren't government programs to fund this when you have your own dollars available, which was, as they said, is really the point of the partnership program. The larger problem that we have is when we plan for this, what we're planning for most of the time that people don't understand is not necessarily whether we think long-term care will happen or not. It's the risk of living a long life and what happens when we get old and get frail. And as for, you know, pre-existing conditions, I've said for a long time, people need to look at this even in their 40s to early 50s, not even 55 or 60, because we need to deal with at least getting a plan in place before we start dealing with those health issues that do creep up on us in our 50s. We could probably insure 90 to 95% of people if they looked at this at a much younger age. And on the affordability front, as Romeo has said, this is affordable if you do it at a much younger age. It can be as little as $100 a month for something that just covers the catastrophe in the nursing home. But as an industry, the insurance companies have done a better job of realizing traditional long-term care insurance isn't just the only solution. And so there's a number of products out there that are really more asset-based and are out there to help people plan and try and get more people to do what they should do, which is take personal responsibility for their health care in retirement. And that's really where we got to go as an industry. And these programs that the government has, they're marvelous. My grandmother just took care of it, but I had the exact same call from my mom when she put my grandmother in the nursing home. She called me up and said, I'm putting her in for a month for respite. Bob, it's going to cost me $6,000 a month. I can't believe I have to pay for that. That is not a government program. I said, Mom, why should the taxpayers have to pay for it? She has money. But she was floored that there wasn't anything there to do it.
Mm-hmm. Donna, you want to take it?
I totally agree with him on that. And that the fact that there is not a way to have a government program pay for your long-term care and services if you have finances yourself. It just simply does not exist. I go back to what I said before. It's very, very simple. You're going to private pay in any creative way, shape, or form that may take. You're going to have insurance that may help offset some of the cost, or you're going to qualify for the Medicaid program at some point in time. And I agree with what the caller said. I mean, why should the taxpayers pay if his grandmother did have the money to pay for the care?
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Bob, very much for your call. Let's go to Deborah next from Madison. Hi, Deborah. Deborah?
Financial professionals that will help people structure their assets. I'm trying to avert the word hide them so that they can go on Medicaid. And there are people who are or were quite wealthy who are first in line for Medicaid when there are poor people who need it
right.
and deserve it that are waiting in line behind them.
Yeah. Deborah, hi.
Hi. One of the things that concerns me, I'm a nurse. My mother went through this over the last 10, 12 years. My father died, lived in northern Wisconsin. There are no taxis, no buses. When she lost her driver's license, she was really isolated. All of her friends had moved south or they had died. She ended up selling the house. She always swore she'd die in her own home, but she realized she needed to change that definition. She sold her house up north. She moved down to Madison, bought a condominium in one of the continuous care communities. Oakwood was the one that she chose. And while she was still vital and awake and alert and able to make all of her own decisions, she chose her apartment, she moved her condo, she moved in, made a huge group of friends, had an absolute riot for her last 8 years. She recreated her life. I think the biggest mistake people make is that old, I'm going to die in my own home. They need to realize their home is where they are. It's not a building. I don't care how many generations grew up in there. If your kids really want it, they'll figure out a way to buy it when it goes on the market. They need to, you know, people need to make a social network. The beauty of this particular system is you buy the condominium. I think it's about 25% of the purchase price is retained. They reinvest that. But the deal is that if you need assisted care, which she did after a rather grievous accident for a while, they come to your apartment. On the campus is an acute care rehab facility as well and a dementia unit. So you have couples who buy condos where one has dementia. When it gets to the point where it's so advanced, they can both move on to another place together if they wish to remain together, or they can, one of them can move to the dementia unit and the other can be have respite in the condo sort of thing. They, if you need, you know, you fall and break a hip, you go to the rehab unit for a while, but when you're done, you go back to your condo, and all your buddies are coming over having lunch with you and hanging out with you, and you're coming over to visit them because they have covered walkways in the evening, so you still have your social hour. It is a continuous seam of social interaction, and she had more fun her last 8 years. It was wonderful to see, and I really get concerned when people work so hard to keep their parents isolated in their home, and all they see is family and caregivers, and their friends can't come see them because they're isolated in their homes or they have also passed on.
Right. Well, you make a wonderful point here, and more of these places are being built all over the country. Donna, can you talk about that?
I was just marveling at that, and I think that is such I'm so glad to hear that. That was such a wonderful outcome. And she is so right. We hear so many elders themselves as well as adult children. They do want to stay in that farmhouse. They want to stay in that house. All the children were born there. You know, they were raised there. And that actually presents a stumbling block to the adult children who are trying to assist their parents sometimes. That can actually get in the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a special person. I think most of us say, "Oh, yes, I want to live in my house because of the memories." And I think there are studies that show that perhaps a lot of people can't make the adjustment to that kind of living situation. But if you got vipping, you're ready to go and zippity doodah, let's go and have a reinvent ourselves and have a lot of social life. Then it sounds good. It sounds very good, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. But as you said, change is scary.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. Deborah, thank you so much. We go to Alta next from Eau Claire. Hi, Alta.
Hi. I just love all this optimism, but we didn't all have a huge income all our lives.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I were self-employed. We always had to pay for our own medical care, take care of our children. We didn't have this excessive income that we could put into long-term care. And I am barely scraping by paying for a supplement to my Medicare. And, you know, I'd love to be able to pay $100 a month, but if I did, I wouldn't eat.
Romeo, you want to respond?
Well, there are some people for whom Medicaid is going to be the logical plan if they need long-term care services, and this may be one of those situations. Insurance is not for everyone.
Well, right now, I own my own home, and I drive a car, and I'm very active. I work really hard on the health care legislation that got screwed down. But anyway, you know, I'm an active person. I am not somebody that's ready for welfare.
You just hit on a solution or a possible solution in your case. You own your own home. If you were to reverse mortgage the house and take a lump sum of money out and put it in the bank so it's there for your children when you pass on, the interest check that money generates might buy you that long-term care insurance or some long-term care insurance, and I'm guessing your children don't want that particular building. They want the money out of it when you die, or it would be nice to leave it to them. So let the equity in the house through a reverse mortgage and bank interest buy some long-term care insurance without affecting your day-to-day budget and ability to eat.
Have you thought of that, Alta?
You know, I have thought about that, but I do have some health problems, so I'm probably not a candidate for long-term. I am diabetic, and I maybe am not a candidate, but, you know, I'm in a condominium. I'm not in a standalone home. We sold that when my husband was ill and moved here, but it's paid for. But it's taxes every year. How do they handle taxes with that sort of a situation?
If you reverse mortgage your house, you're still responsible for maintaining the dwelling and insuring the home for fire and so forth and paying the property taxes on it. But you can use the dollars from that reverse mortgage for anything you want to use them for, such as food or what you may need, travel, long-term care insurance, whatever is necessary. And you can spend the dollars or you can set them aside and just spend the interest so it goes on indefinitely.
Well, I'll look into it, but I don't have a lot of I've had friends that have looked into it, and they found that they wouldn't get enough for, you know, they didn't have a mansion. So, I will look into it.
Okay, Alta, thank you so much for your call.
Kathleen, you know, Alta makes a great point. Right now, she sounded like she was single, but, you know, our average senior citizen right now is paying $96.40 per month for their Part B medical insurance, Part B of the Medicare program, and if they're paying for a Medicare supplement policy, that can be $150 a month. That's $246 for one person right there out of the income, and if there's a couple, you double that. It can be $500 a month just for their basic health insurance, the Medicare program, and a secondary insurance program, just for their basic.
Right. That's a lot of money. A lot of money. I want to take another email, but I can't, or I'll be starved for time at the end of the hour. Thank you both so much for being with us. We want to let people know that you're providing other links for us, too. So we'll have a lot of information at our website, Donna. And thank you so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, Romeo, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks. Donna Bryant is lead counselor at the Medigap Helpline, which is a program of the state of Wisconsin's Board on Aging and Long-Term Care. And Rhonda is putting a link to that on our website as well as on Facebook. So our website is WPR.org, and you can go to Facebook as well to the Kathleen Dunn Show, and there will be a link on that. Romeo Robbie is a counselor for long-term care. He is in the insurance sales business, and his practice is the Long-Term Care Guy. It is located in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So that's it for this hour. That's a lot on this issue, right? As I suggested on the Facebook page, maybe we should just buy land and take care of each other down the road. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, and thanks to Rhonda Fanning as well for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. Tomorrow, we will, the first hour of our program, be speaking with the head of Bread for the World. So we'll look at hunger programs throughout the world and hunger throughout the world. And we'll talk about Louis Armstrong, the second hour of our program, with the author of a great book on him. And we'll listen to some tunes as well. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.